It is Tuesday, Parshas Mitzorah Tosha Pedala, but we are going to be talking about the Haggadah Shel Pesach and not the Parsha of Mitzorah. So I think to start off, we'll talk about a theme that everyone is familiar with, and we're going to dig down into it a little bit more. The Pasuk uses a number of expressions talking about the redemption. The Parsha is at the beginning of the Pasuk is the beginning of the era. The Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to B'nai Yisrael and say, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, v'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, and I will bring you out of the bondage of Mitzrayim. That's v'hotseisi. The second language is v'hitzalti eschem avodasam, and I will save you from their work. The third language is v'ga'alti eschem esrona netuya, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And then v'lakachti eschem li la'am, I will take you as a nation. And then there is a fifth pasuk at the end, v'hevesi eschem, and I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. So we're familiar with the v'hotseisi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. These are the four languages of redemption. And the Talmud Yerushalmi says that it is corresponding to these four languages of redemption that we drink the four cups of wine and the night of the Seder. Each cup of wine represents another aspect of the Geula. And what I'd like to go through with you is what is meant by each one of these expressions of Geula and how each one of those expressions of Geula relates to the cup of wine that we drink that corresponds to it in the way it is placed in the Seder. And I am sharing with you an essay of someone who's become very famous over the past several weeks, Reb Tzvi Kushelevsky, who became famous for having a child at the age of 88. But way before he had this child, he submitted this essay in a sefer that I've had for quite a few years. It came out in something like 16 years ago, and it's on the Arba Lashon Shegeula. And I was always taken with this piece because I think it really is illuminating. So he says, what is the reason and how does these languages relate to the four cups of wine? Now, there is a Meshech Chochmah on this as well. I'm not going to share that with you, but I'm going to share his approach with you. He says as follows. He says that we have to understand that there were four stages of redemption in Mitzrayim. The first stage, V'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. The first language is V'hotseisi. I took you out of the bondage. Sivlos sevel means, the bondage of Mitzrayim. The Gemara tells us, the Talmud of Rosh Hashanah says that two things happen in Rosh Hashanah that is noteworthy. Number one, Yosef HaTzadik was released from from prison. He was in the prison. He was in the dungeon, and he was removed. He came to Paro. He was brought to Paro. That happened on Rosh Hashanah. And the second thing is, on Rosh Hashanah, our forefathers ceased to do difficult labor in Mitzrayim. Even though the redemption happened on Pesach, but already a half a year earlier than Pesach, the harsh labor ended. Okay, that's what the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And actually, the Gemara expounds this from a pasuk. We say this in the Yom Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chagenu, and then at the end of the pasuk says Ki Edus Behi Yosef Samo But Say So. Right. In other words, Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar is the pasuk that is speaking about Rosh Hashanah. You blow the shofar on the beginning of the month, which is beginning of the month, the beginning of the year, which is Rosh Hashanah. And at the end of the pasuk, it says it's talking about the redemption. I shouldn't say redemption. The release of Yosef from prison. So that's, and then Rosh Hashanah, we stopped working in Mitzrayim, and we derived that from the Gezeirah Shavah, because it says Misevel Shichmo, Hasirosi Misevel Shichmo, and we have a Gezeirah Shavah. Sevel, the word sevel, harsh labor, is used in describing what we did in Mitzrayim, and the word sevel is used in terms of Yosef as well. So in the same way that Yosef was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah, so our forefathers, they stopped with the harsh labor on the back-breaking labor that we read about. They had to get their own straw and so on and so forth, and they were whipped. All of that came to an end on Rosh Hashanah. He adds that, and I'll just preface this with something that we've spoken about over the course of the winter on the shiurim that we gave, that Yosef was a quasi-Av. In other words, Yosef was one of the 12 tribes, but he he also had an aspect of being somewhat like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in that his actions, they presage the future of Klal Yisrael. They foretell the future of Klal Yisrael. So that's called Masa of a Simla Bonim, whatever the forefathers did. So that tells us what's going to happen in the future of Klal Yisrael. So in that way, Yosef being released from prison on Rosh Hashanah is Masa of a Simla Bonim. So his descendants also, or the Klal Yisrael in general, they will also be released from their prison on Rosh Hashanah. Not the prison, but it's the harsh labor. Okay, so he says that is the first understanding of the first pasuk. V'hotzeisi eschem, I will bring you out mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, from the harsh labor of Mitzrayim. Sivlos is the harsh labor, the avodas perech, but they still were enslaved. They had to do some other chores. Maybe they had some office work. Maybe they had to do some other, light work. They weren't totally free. They still were at their beck and call, but not the back-breaking type of avoda, right? They did other things, but it was not the sevel. It was not the avoda's perah. Okay, so that is v'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. What is the second language? V'hitzalti eschem ma'avodasam. I saved you from their work. The Medrash, there's a Yalkut, and says as follows: Kumutzu, Paro by Magnus Bukhar says, get up and leave. Malamisha Yapar Dovik al Pisrashin Shemosha. And Paro at the end knocked on the door of Moshe Aaron. Amrlo, and then they said, because he says, leave. Amrlo, hey Shota, Belaila Nayotzin. What do you think, we're going to leave in the middle of the night? We're not going to leave in the middle of the night. Amalem, so he said to them, Kumitzu, go, leave, right? We suffered enough. So Amr Lo, so they said, V'chiganavu manachnu, are we thieves that we sneak out in the middle of the night? Baboka anu yotzim, we're going to leave in the morning. We're going to wait, take our time. Now that you want us to leave, okay. Amr Lo, they said, your intent is that you want to spare yourself from the rest of this maka, the makas b'choros. So, and more, they said to him, say with your mouth, Hare atem b'shuscham, you are in your own domain. You have reclaimed your own freedom. Hare atem avadav shal kodesh baruch hu, you are now the servants of Hashem. This is what Paro was told to say. We want to hear from your mouth. Say it, right? Hischo Paro tzaveh, so Paro started to cry out. Lishaover Yisem Avodai, in the past you were my slaves, Aval Achshu, but now Hare Atem Bnei Chori, you are free. So Paro made that proclamation. Hare Atem B'Shuschem, you are free to go, you are in your own domain. And he said the following, Tzrichim Atem Lahalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must give praise to Hashem, Sha'atem Avodav, that now you are his servant. Shenemar, as it says, that we say this in Halal, Halaluhu, Halalu Avdei Hashem. Praise them, the servants of Hashem. So this is really, this came out of the mouth of Paro, right? As strange as it seems, you can enslave a nation for 210 years, and at the end of the day, you say, I give up. You were right. Your God is the God. Praise your God. It's as if, we know when Mashiach is going to come, all of the nations of the world are come to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? It's a little hard to understand how that's going to happen, but all of Iran and its proxies and all of our other enemies, they will turn around. This happened in Mitzrayim. And he says, and this is what the pasuk means when it says, "V'itzalti eschem avodasam," that I saved you from the total avodin, as you're no longer avodim at all. Before, we're talking about the cessation of the harsh labor. Now he says, you know what? You're no longer in my domain. You're free. Shemeata hufsuka hal avoda kalil. It now finishes totally, and you leave the ironclad ownership of, so to speak, of the Mitzrayim, and you're now free. He says, but is the story over yet? Okay, so no more service, no more working, no more menial labor. The Paro can't even ask them to prepare a cup of coffee for him. I can't do it. You're free. and you're right, and God, your God is great, and praise your God, right? So on and so forth. End of story? Not end of story. There needs to be a third level. Because v'ga'alti yeshem mizrenda tuya, I redeemed you with a strong arm. He says his fazit. He says, this I saved you, I redeemed you with a strong arm. Where is that word strong arm used in the Chumash? We say it every day in davening. It's talking about the actual splitting of the sea. We say in davening, right before Shemoneh Esrei, we're about to say it, that a new song, those who were redeemed, praise Hashem, l'shimcha al Sfas Hayam, on the edge of the sea. They were Nasa Geulim, we became Geulim. Shira Hadash Shimcha Geulim, we were called Geulim, we're Al Sfas Hayam. The Siporna says it in so many words. Bitvias Hamitriyam Bayam. When is it called? V'ga'alti eschem b'zroin tuya. If you look up the Siporna's pshat, he says it's talking about the drowning of the Mitzriyim at the sea. That in the drowning of the Mitzriim, now they see that they may sell Sfasiam. Because what was the concern? The concern is they were enslaved for so many years, and now they were let free. But what is that lingering fear that their old masters are going to give chase? And how do we know we're really free? You know, they were weak. They were a weaker nation. They were under the rule and thumb of the Mitzriim. They don't have to work, fine, but maybe they're just going to change their mind. What did I do? And you know what happened? That's exactly what happened, because Paro and his nation said, wait a second, what are we doing over here? So let's go get them back. So until the slaves see that the masters have no way to reclaim them, to take them back, they're still going to have a fear. And this is why the final geula, the final redemption, is v'ga'alti yeshem bizro netuya. As the Mefarshim are saying, that the strong arm, when did that occur? That occurred with the actual Geula in the Kriyas Yamsev. And what happened was actually, and we spoke about this, I think, back in those Parshias, that there was a Mida Keneged Mida, a measure for measure, that each Jew saw how his oppressor died and the kind of death that he died at the Kriyas Yamsev. In other words, it wasn't just everybody just fell into the ocean and died, but there were all kinds of other suffering and punishment that went along with the deaths of those Mitzriim. And each Jew that was tormented saw how his tormentor suffered in the same way that he made him suffer. It was a mida keneged mida. So that is that's the third language. So far we have three languages. One, v'otzesi, is the cessation of harsh labor. V'hitzalti, that the fact that Paros is okay, leave and say shira, a total liberation. And then the final emotional, I'll call it emotional liberation, is when they no longer had a fear that the Mitzriim can go and reclaim them. So what are we lacking now? We have one language, V'lakachti eschem li la'am. So he says, the Sipurna says, V'lakachti eschem li la'am is talking about when they reached Har Sinai and they received the Torah. That's V'lakachti, I'm going to send you from Mitzrayim and I will take you as my nation. Taking you as my nation, with all of the trappings and trimmings of you are to me a treasured nation, a nation of priests and kings, and it's the giving of the Torah, that whole Maimed Har Sinai, which happened some 7 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was the fulfillment of the fourth language here, the fourth expression of Erev Lekachti Eschem Li La'am. But he says, but we still need to understand this just a little bit. He says, because we understand the first three levels, the first three stages are actually stages of the physical redemption from Mitzrayim, right? The first thing we talked about are how they're physically saved from Mitzrayim. But it seems that Matan Torah, is a Matan Torah that was given to free people. So why is that part of the Exodus of Egypt? They're free. Egyptians are dead, gone, right? Ding dong, the witch is dead, right? That's it. So now the witch is dead. So now, okay, Torah is a new thing. Like, why is the V'lakachti Eschem Li La'am? How does that relate to the first thing? What, Tov?
I was singing this song.
I know, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Okay. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Okay. Yeah, we are so, as Americans, we are so ingrained with that movie for some crazy reason. I don't know why it just strikes a nerve, but it just, I don't know. Look how pop culture. Oof. Wow. Okay. And anyway, let's get back to Mitzrayim, okay? Let's get out of Emerald City and get back to Mitzrayim. Okay, so he says as follows. He quotes the Nefesh HaChayim. He says as follows. You have to understand, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, Nebuchadnezzar and his cronies. Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that actually their physical act was not an act that was a spiritual act in heaven that they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, right? He says, yes, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was a great and a tragic spiritual seminal event in our lives. We lack the Beis HaMikdash now. He says, but it's not because of Nebuchadnezzar. They just did the work that we did. Our sins diminished our power and our relationship, right? Because we were so full of sin that the Beis HaMikdash needed to be destroyed. And the language of Chazal is Nebuchadnezzar only came and he ground up flour. He didn't grind the wheat. We ground the wheat. In other words, our averus, our sins, made us unworthy to have the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's just a matter of who's going to topple over the building. So Hashem said Nebuchadnezzar, but it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. We did it into ourselves. You know, it says we destroyed our own Beis HaMikdash in the spiritual sense. And in order for it to come down physically, Hashem said Nebuchadnezzar, ki avonoseinu achrivu noveh ma'alos alomos al yenem akadoshim. So Shemchaim Shemalavet, Shemchaim Valoshner, our sins destroyed the abode, the spiritual abode. Vehem achrivu, they only destroyed the abode of mortar and bricks. So he says the shibud and golus, the physical shibud and golus that we ever experience, that is only going to be reflective of our state of affairs in the spiritual world. If you want to see the Jewish people, who are we? We are who we are in the spiritual sense. The manifestation of our state above could be seen as how we look down below. So in other words, if we are close with Hashem and we're doing the will of Hashem, Hashem is happy with us. So we're all in the Holy Land and we have the Beis HaMikdash, and you could tell by looking at Klai Yisrael where they are spiritually. And if we're downtrodden and we're being oppressed and we're being murdered and there's pogroms and there's Holocaust and there's Gaza attacks and so on and so forth, on some level that reflects really the state of affairs of who we are vis-a-vis Hashem in Shemayim. He says, and all of the geula, all of redemptions also in the physical sense, will really stem and flow from the redemption, from the spiritual redemption of Klal Yisrael. So he says, this physical redemption of Mitzrayim that we just spoke about in the three stages, right? All of the three stages we mentioned, that is a physical manifestation, okay, of where we really are vis-a-vis our relationship with Hashem. And the greatest barometer of our relationship to Hashem is when we finally get the Torah. We came to that final day. We made it to the promised land. I don't mean in that sense, but we made it, right? And we got the Torah. So therefore, the first stage of, let's just talk about this physical. This is very beautiful. He says, when they enslaved us, he says, with harsh labor, he says that the Egyptians viewed us as subhumans. Subhumans. They treated us like animals. Right, so that was the first stage. The first stage of Geula had to restore, you know, the fact that we are worthy. We are people. We are Bas Adam. And the trial of Ivan the Terrible some 30 years ago, Ivan Demenyuk, I remember I was in Israel then, and the trial was on the radio, and they asked the Holocaust survivor, explain your ordeal, and he explained what the Nazis did to them. It's horrible. We got down on all fours, and they knocked out our teeth with the bat. Just terrible. So the judge or the lawyers, so you mean to say they treated you like animals? I'll never forget what this Holocaust survivor answered in Hebrew. Lehefech, heim hayu hachayot. We weren't animals, they were the animals. As he meant to say that the behavior that they treated you, you know, they treated you as if you were subhuman, you're animals, but he said, no, they showed themselves to be the animals. Okay, you know what? I didn't finish. Tomorrow morning we'll end this. We'll go through the four languages and how they relate to each cup of wine. That's what we're about to do. So, okay, have a good day, everyone, and thank you for listening.